Title: Layering Found Sounds from Scratch Without Third-Party Plugins Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. Today we're going to do one of the most satisfying things in drum and bass production: turning totally normal, real-world noises into a tight, face-safe, punchy drum layer that actually sits in a rolling 174 BPM groove. And we're doing it with Ableton stock only. No third-party transient shapers, no fancy saturators, no boutique drum plugins, just clean layering, clean routing, and smart processing. Here's the core idea you'll keep coming back to for the whole lesson. Every layer needs a job. One layer is body, one layer is attack, one layer is air or texture. If you let every layer do everything, you get mud, harshness, and confusion. If you assign roles, it instantly starts sounding pro, even though the source is a lighter flick or a set of keys. Let's set the session up first. Set your tempo to somewhere between 172 and 176. I'm going to aim you at 174. That's a sweet spot for a lot of rolling and jungle-leaning DNB. Now make three tracks. First, an audio track called Found RAW. This is where all your recordings live. Second, a MIDI track called Found Drum Rack. That's where we'll build the kit. Third, optional but helpful, an audio track called Reference Break. If you've got a break or a loop that represents the vibe you want, drop it there. We're not stealing it, we're using it like a ruler for energy and spacing. Quick workflow thing that saves time. Create a folder in your project called Samples, then Found, then Raw and Processed. Put your recordings in Raw and any resampled, committed versions in Processed. Your future self will thank you. Now let's talk raw material. If you're recording, your phone is fine. Seriously. We're not trying to capture a symphony hall. We want interesting transients and character. Record a few categories. Record 5 to 10 single hits that are short and clean. Think desk thuds, chest taps, door knocks, book slaps. Record 10 to 20 seconds of continuous texture, like shaking keys, crinkling paper, or rattling a chain. And record one or two big impacts, door slam, bin lid, something with weight. Bring those recordings into Found RAW. Now, important Ableton move. For one shots, turn warp off. In clip view, disable warp. Warping can smear transients, and for drums, transients are the whole point. Then, consolidate your best bits. Grab a clean hit, trim it, and consolidate with Control or CMDJ. That gives you nice, manageable samples that behave predictably. Here's your quick good found sound checklist. Does it have a clear attack? Does it have a short body or some interesting resonance? And is the background noise either minimal or actually cool? Now we build the layering philosophy into the kit. In DNB, think in three bands: body, weight. For kicks, that's roughly 60 to 200 Hz. For snare tone, that's often 150 to 350, sometimes up into 400 to 800 depending on the drum. Attack, definition, usually living around 2 to 6 kHz. Air, the shiny top, 8 to 14 kHz, often noise-based. Now go to the Found Drum Rack MIDI track and drop in a drum rack. We'll make three main pads. C1 is kick, D1 is snare, F-sharp 1 can be your top texture loop, and on each pad, we're going to layer multiple simplers. In the chain list, just drop simpler in for each layer you want. If you want to keep it tidy, you can group chains, but it's optional. The key is that each layer is its own chain, so you can EQ and shape it independently. For each simpler layer, set a baseline, one-shot mode, warp off inside simpler, so the transient stays sharp. Set voices to 1. We don't want flams unless you're doing that on purpose. Add a tiny fade in if you hear a click, like 0 to 2 milliseconds, and a small fade out, maybe 5 to 20 milliseconds, so you don't get weird digital cutoffs. Cool. Let's design the found kick. We're making a two-layer kick, thump plus click. Start with the thump layer. Pick a sample that has low resonance or a nice thud. Desk thump, door hit, chest tap, anything that already feels like it wants to be the bottom of a drum. Open simpler and enable the filter. Use a low pass, LP24. Set the cutoff somewhere around 180 to 250 Hz. We're basically saying, this layer is body only, don't try to be bright. Then add EQ8 after simpler. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to remove sub-rumble that eats headroom. If it needs weight, do a gentle wide boost around 60 to 90 Hz. 1 to 3 dB is plenty. Then add saturator, drive it maybe 2 to 6 dB, turn soft clip on, and compensate the output so your level is similar with and without it. That's a huge teacher tip. If you don't level match, you'll always think louder is better, and you'll make bad decisions. Now the click layer. Pick something short and bright. Key click, pen tap, lighter flick, small metal tick. In simpler, filter it with a high pass, maybe HP12, anywhere from 800 HC up to 2K HC. The goal is, no low end from this layer, because low end is the thump layer's job. Add EQ8 and listen for harsh ringing. A lot of found clicks have a nasty peak around 3 to 6K HC. If it hurts, cut it. Don't be a hero. Now for transient shaping using stock devices. Drum bus is your friend. Put drum bus on the click layer. Keep drive low, like 0 to 10%. Turn transients up, maybe plus 10 to plus 30. And usually keep boom off for a click layer. Boom is cool, but here it can blur the kick. Now this part is crucial. Phase and timing alignment. Zoom into the start of the samples in Simpler. You want the transient of the thump and the transient of the click to land together. If the click starts even slightly late, the kick loses punch and starts sounding like two separate events. Use the start parameter in Simpler to nudge. You're doing microscopic moves. And here's a more advanced trick. Time can be a layering tool. Sometimes delaying the attack layer by like 0.2 to 2 milliseconds actually increases perceived punch, because the ear hears a sharper front edge after the body arrives. But for the body layer itself, you usually want it to arrive as early as possible, because that's what feels solid in the low end. To check for phase issues, do a quick mono reality check. Drop utility on one layer and flip phase. Invert left and right. If the low end disappears or the kick collapses, your layers are fighting. Undo the polarity flip and align the start points instead. The goal is strong in mono, strong at low volume, still exciting when loud. And while we're being disciplined, gain staging inside drum rock matters more than you think. Keep each Simpler layer peaking around minus 18 to minus 12 dBFS. That gives you headroom, and it makes your compressors and saturators behave consistently. If every layer is slamming, the group processing will smear your transient and you'll wonder why it's getting smaller as you enhance it. Okay, found sare time. We're doing three layers: tone, snap, and air. First, the tone layer. Pick something like a book slap, palm hit, small box hit, something with mid-range meat. In Simpler, you can use either a band pass or low pass depending on the sample. The goal is to focus the body around 180 to 300 HC and possibly some character in 400 to 800 HC. Then EQ8, high pass around 120 to 160 HC so it's not stepping on the kick. If it's boxy, hunt around 350 to 600 HC and cut a few dB. Use a narrower Q if it's a specific ring, wider if it's a general cardboard vibe. Next, the snap layer. Pick a sharp click, stick hit, chopstick click, metal tap. High pass this more aggressively, like 1 to 2.5 kHz. Then drum bus again. Transients up, maybe plus 20 to plus 40. Small drive. And if you want a bit of digital bite for DNB edge, use redux very subtly. Downsample maybe 12 to 20 kHz. Bit depth maybe 10 to 14. Subtle. You should miss it when it's off, but not immediately notice it when it's on. Third, the air layer. This is where your continuous texture recording becomes a snare's top end. Use paper, fabric brushing, keys shake, whatever you recorded. Put that into Simpler. High pass at 6 to 8 kHz. Then use Simpler's volume envelope to make it behave like a snare burst, not a long hiss. Set attack to 0. Decay around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Sustain all the way down. Release around 30 to 80 milliseconds. Now we glue the snare together with group processing on the snare pad output. Add glue compressor. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack somewhere between 0.3 and 3 milliseconds. Faster is snappier, but too fast can dull the crack. So listen. Release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, or just use auto. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loud hits. We're gluing, not flattening. Then EQ8. If it feels dull, a small shelf around 10 to 12 kHz. Just a touch. Then utility for DNB punch. Keep the snare mostly centered. Width around 80 to 100% is a good starting point. You can get fancy with width on tops and textures, but snares usually need to punch down the middle. Now let's build a rolling top texture from found ambience. This is the shaker or hat replacement that gives your groove that constant motion. Take that 10 to 20 seconds texture recording and load it into Simpler on F-sharp 1. If you want it tempo locked, enable warp. Use beats mode. Preserve 1/16 or 1/32 depending how tight and choppy you want it. Now shape it. Auto filter. High pass around 2 to 5 kHz to remove mud. This matters a lot, because low mid texture builds up fast in DNB. You can add a little envelope amount, like 5 to 15% for movement. Then add a gate. This is a classic DNB trick. Increase the threshold until the texture starts chopping rhythmically. You're basically turning a messy recording into a controlled hat pattern. Then add auto pan for motion. Set the rate to 1/8 or 1/16, amount around 20 to 40%. And if you want it wide, set phase to 180 degrees, but don't overdo it. Remember, wide is exciting until it wrecks mono. Arrangement tip. Automate width. Keep tops narrower in verses, like 70 to 90% width. Open them in the drop, maybe 100 to 120. That simple automation is density without adding new sounds. Now, let's put the kit into a 16-bar DNB loop. Start with the core pattern. Snares on beats 2 and 4. That's your anchor. Kick on 1, and then as syncopated push before 3. The exact placement can vary, but you want that rolling forward energy, not just a straight rock beat. Then add ghost notes. Put a low velocity snare hit a 16th before the main snare. Keep it quiet. It's more feel than sound. Add tiny clicks as ticks between hats. These are your micro details. Now do velocity and groove. For tops, vary velocities between about 50 and 95. Don't make them all the same or you'll get that machine gun thing. Ghost hits can live down at 15 to 40. Then open the groove pool and try a subtle swing 16 groove. Keep the amount around 10 to 25%. Timing maybe 70 to 90. Subtle. If you hear swing as a gimmick, it's too much. Next, cohesion with drum rock return chains. This is one of the biggest sounds like a record moves, because everything shares the same space and parallel character. In the drum rack, enable return chains. Return A, a short room reverb. Set decay around 0.4 to 0.9 seconds, size 20 to 35%, pre-delay 10 to 25 ms. Filter the reverb, high cut around 7 to 10 kHz, low cut around 400 to 800 hz. Now send mainly the snare air layer and a bit of the tops. Keep the kick mostly dry. Return B. Parallel crunch. Put saturator first. Drive 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip on. Then drum bus. Drive 5 to 15%. Transients plus 10. And blend it in with sends. This is seasoning. The moment you clearly hear distortion, you're probably past the sweet spot. Now a transition hit, made from the same world of sounds, so your track feels glued together. Pick a big slam. Door or bin lid. Put reverb after it, and set it 100% wet. Then resample it. Create a new audio track, set its input to resampling, and record the hit so you capture the reverb tail. Now take that resampled audio and reverse it. In clip view, hit reverse. This audio version is shortened for playback.